Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. Thank you for joining us. I hope that you are subscribing and sharing all about our podcast to all of your friends and family. Today, I have a special guest with me, Josh Steffens, who is the executive director of a ministry called the Biblical Counseling Alliance. Josh, thanks for being here with us today.
Well, thanks so much, Curtis. I'm really excited to be able to share what's going on here in the upper Midwest and just excited about what the Counseling Coalition is doing.
Thanks. So, Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, I've been married to my wife, Michelle, for around 19 years. We have been in a small community here in Minnesota. My dad was actually the pastor of the church that I'm pastoring right now. We moved here when I was in about first grade. And the way the Lord providentially had it for us, I ended up working with my dad for about 12 years until his retirement. And the church sought to seek that we would be potentially the next senior pastor. We prayed about it together as a family, and we're really excited that God would have us minister in the same community that we grew up in. We ended up having all of our five children here. So that's just a really exciting opportunity for us to be amongst the people. Sometimes challenging. They saw me when I was a young man making a lot of probably some foolish choices, but they are very gracious and kind people and being able to walk through together as a whole body, what that looks like. So just really excited to be where we're at.
Wow. Praise the Lord. That's a great testimony. Not every pastor son relationship would be able to hold up under that. So that's awesome to hear and really cool that your church community has embraced you even though they know you and know you well. That's a great testimony to God's faithfulness in your life. So Josh, tell you mentioned being the BC Alliance and where you are is in Minnesota in the upper Midwest. One of the things I've seen around the country, especially going from the West Coast to the South, is that our culture, even though we're one country, we have a lot of different cultures within the United States. So tell us a little bit about what is the culture of the upper Midwest?
Well, I think, you know, there's obviously some similarities and differences. Minnesota, anyway, that's where we're located, is always described as the Minnesota nice. When people come here, I don't know what that, if that means that everyone else isn't nice, but Minnesota is nice. I don't think that's the case, but there's a perception where, you know, people are really friendly there. It's very easy to talk to people here. People greet one another. And so I think from an external standpoint, there's just, in smaller communities, especially in a rural community like I'm at, there's a very close-knit culture, especially in the rural communities. A little different, similar in the cities, but I think it's easy to talk to people here in the upper Midwest, at least at an external value about various, you know, things going on in their life, but still very challenging to get to deeper, I would describe as non-surface issues that really get to the root of what's going on in people's life. People are really okay to talk about that, and yet sometimes don't want you to pry any further than you need to. They like to stay potentially on that level. And some of that I think is universal as well, for all of us. But that's kind of some of the culture of the upper Midwest. From a counseling standpoint, you know, they're really thankful for some of the things that Faith Church in Lafayette has done. They have brought some of their counseling, you know, training centers here to Grace Church of Eden Prairie, different locations in the Twin Cities, to try to help foster some of that biblical counseling perspective here in the upper Midwest. And yet, by and large, many, many churches from the biblical counseling culture still have not been exposed to much of what is an emphasis in the biblical counseling movement. So.
It's interesting. Yeah. That surface level, nice communication can be definitely a hindrance to people being willing to accept counsel and definitely to opening up. Thanks for sharing a little bit about that. So tell our guests a little bit about what is the Biblical Counseling Alliance? When did you guys begin? What do you do? And and how do you, what's your impact?
So really one of the Biblical Counseling Alliance started in back in January 2016. I mean, there were some inner workings that were going on behind the scenes prior to it actually officially becoming an organization. And I would say if I had to trace it back, I think part of it was this instigation of people in my life. There was a board member of the BCC by the name of Dr. Tom Zempel, who passed away just about a year ago, had significant impact in the course of my life in influencing me towards biblical counseling. And one of the ways he did that is he had us go down to Faith in Lafayette. And I remember sitting there in a hotel, coming down to the lobby after one of the long days of teaching, and watching a pastor sit down with a group of 10 to 15 of his people. And he was just sitting there listening, discipling, and they were all there in this very transparent community. And I remember looking at that, you know, over 10 years ago going, man, I want that. Mm-hmm. I want to have that kind of community, that kind of culture in the church. And at some point, I really feel like I almost got sinfully jealous what was happening is that wasn't happening where we were at. And so over the course of the years, we came back to our church, and we really started to pray and consider the emphasis of counseling, and we opened up a counseling ministry out of our church. And from that, what we began to start seeing is, especially, I guess, here in the upper Midwest, is there were very few certified biblical counselors. And even if there was, they didn't know each other. And people were coming from states away, sometimes hours away, and then also sometimes states away, North Dakota, South Dakota, various areas. And we began to realize that, I think it was a recollection to me or a revelation to me in my perspective that, somebody's driving 4 hours one way to be able to get counseling. And it began to foster a desire to strengthen other local church ministries so that they too could begin to start proficiently helping people through the struggles that they have. And so out of that, a group of churches here in the upper Midwest began to get together and talk about how we could try to help influence and expose some of these local church ministries and strengthen them in the area of counseling and discipleship, so that people could then either find a very closer area where they could get help that would make it easier on the person needing some help, or we could help strengthen parachurch ministries who are doing this, or we could mainly strengthen local churches and pastors who could do this more effectively. So out of that, these three churches really just bound themselves together and just said, you know what, we think we could try to do something to contribute to the exposure of biblical counseling here in the upper Midwest that seems to be not as heavy as some other places that have been historically some places on the East Coast where their biblical counseling began, and some of it in the South and of course in the lower Midwest in Indiana, where this has really taken root. And so we were excited to just kind of be able to say, okay, how can we network with these churches so we can consult with other biblical counselors, and we can know not just who they are or that they exist, but we know them personally. We know them from a relationship we have with them. We know their theology that they're going to give. So we can really confidently then network and then refer people to one another or to other local churches who have this kind of similar mindset. So that really was where the heartbeat really began. And I think it was 2 years ago, coming back from an ACBC annual conference in Louisville, actually. My associate and I, we had just got done before my mentor, Dr. Tom Zempel, passed away. We met with him that time in October in Louisville. And on an 8-hour trip home, we just sat as he was driving, I was writing, and we just began to pen all of these ideas down and then tried to bring it back to this group. And then out of that, the Lord just really allowed us to be able to create something that we believe will be helpful to some of the areas here in the upper Midwest, but then also have a flavor to do some things, to offer some things nationally that will be a benefit to biblical counselors, both in the United States and hopefully on an international spectrum as well.
Yeah, so you guys started kind of wanting to strengthen the regional, your area, getting biblical counseling into the churches and those churches that already had biblical counseling and work together and then grow and strengthen BC movement. But you also have, you've started to do some things that would really be a blessing and benefit to biblical counselors across the globe, especially anywhere English is speaking or spoken at this time. Could you tell us a little bit about some of those things that you have available to people who want to be a member of the BC Alliance?
Yeah. So right now, one of the two primary focuses that, that we're really working on to help strengthen people. One of the things we chose not to do, because we really see that there are so many other organizations that are doing this very, very well, is we chose not to really work towards any kind of being an organization that certifies anyone. Because mm-hmm. we really have some good organizations that offer some of those and make that available to people. So we tried to choose to, what we believe is fill a gap towards an online resource center. And that really is the national or international spectrum in which we want to use some things. And then the regional perspective, which is right where we're at, to try to help biblical counselors. So the online resource centers, it's really this opportunity to, in one place, get homework assignments, assessments, various questionnaires and data gathering information as counselors are doing this in biblical counseling, so that they can have one place where it's very easy to save time to get information, homework, teaching diagrams, so that it saves them time. Mm-hmm. And part of our focus for that is that the time that an individual saves, whether it's a pastor or a counselor, is the time that they have then free to invest in another life who needs help. And so that really became one of the heartbeats to help counselors everywhere. And then also for those who are members of the Alliance to also then begin and contribute a variety of those categories themselves. So collectively as a whole, counselors all over the nation and hopefully at one particular point internationally can submit this, and there can be a resource center that is really tapping into the full potential of counselors worldwide, and it doesn't take long to get there. And so that's really, the online resource center thing is a very big component when it comes to the national. And then we're also doing some regional things called interactive focus groups. And this is where counselors, biblical counselors of different churches are coming together on a monthly basis to hear some teaching on very specific topics. And then we take a time, the second hour is devoted towards interaction. Perhaps that's a case study. Perhaps those are just questions that we're using to sharpen one another as counselors. So that the relational aspect of biblical counselors is something that they don't only go to a conference and to experience biblical counseling camaraderie when they go down to a place for a one-time event and then go back and feel very alone in their community. But this gives them a connection with other biblical counselors in their area. And perhaps in their church, they feel very lonely because they may be the only ones doing this. And so they want to connect with other people. So the interactive focus groups serve to help network those relationships and sharpen us together from a month-to-month standpoint.
So if somebody's not in your area, how do they participate in and interact with, become a part of an interactive focus group?
So right now, because the organization is very new, this is something we're kind of trying to establish in our region. The focus group that we have right now, monthly, we are already working on, we're about 2 months away right now from being able to go live with that interactive focus group, so that those who are outside the upper Midwest or outside of Minnesota or the region in the Twin Cities, that they can then tap into that resource a pastor could use that if he wanted to be able to have his people sit together, hear the teaching side of it, and then do his own interactive group based upon that teaching. Eventually, as we move forward, we'll be making some of those interactive questions available to those who are watching online. We'll be using the same technology we're using here with Zoom at a location of a seminary who's been gracious. Central Baptist Theological Seminary here in the Twin Cities has the technological capabilities of allowing people to be able to be in that interactive focus group and see the group that's there, and the group can see them. And so over the next 2-3 months, we're going to be opening that interactive group live from a month-to-month standpoint as well.
Yeah, that'll be great for people. And that's one of the benefits. One of the things I love about technology is we can do things like this interview. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. You're up in Minnesota. But you can also bring people in from around the globe. And a lot of colleges, seminaries obviously do online education. So that's a great way to, for people who might not have anybody around them, to really get some of that camaraderie, but also growth and sharpening on a month-to-month basis. And then that also hopefully will encourage other people, like you said, to take maybe the teaching topic that you guys are discussing and do their own group, maybe a small church that has a few counselors or some people wanting to get counseling training to discuss their cases or other things like that. That's fantastic. The other thing you mentioned was your online resource center, which... thanks for letting me take a look at that. It's really great. And would you mind walking us through some of the resources, maybe show people the website and go through some of the resources there? This is for those of you listening on the podcast, you're going to miss out, but I encourage you to jump over to the video blog and watch some of this, because Josh is actually going to be able to demonstrate some of the resources they have online here for us. So Josh, take it away there. It looks like you've got some worksheets there. Can you just walk everybody through those?
Yep. One of the things that we're finding that we're trying to help create is we find that as individuals that we're helping here in our counseling ministry typically come in, and there are a variety of different ways that we can try to help them. And one of the things that we begin to notice is there is usually a deficiency in a regular walk with the Lord in their devotional life. And so one of the things that we begin to do with our counselees as they come in is we have developed some specific devotional sheets that they can walk through as part of their homework assignments. But this gets them into the Word. And so what you see before you here is just one that we created, which is a very simplistic devotional with a memory verse. And we want them to begin to start meditating and reflecting on those. As well as they have 5 days of devotions, and there's a grouping of questions for each of those passages, and so that we can really start honing in on the various presenting problems that they're facing at that time. So we've got various devotionals that we're coming out with on worry and anger and just biblical importance of the heart, so that we can then begin to get them into the Word, which is, one of the things that we're very adamant about, which is the sufficiency of Scripture. And so we want to create some things where counselors don't have to recreate a devotional for their counselee. They can just grab this, save them time. They know that the counselee is going to be going over this during the week. And so this kind of helps guide them initially as we kind of try to start jump-starting where their devotional walk is at. It's one of the areas. We also do a portion of the online resource center, which highlights various forms. This could be consent forms or note-taking forms. I'm showing you here one of the forms that we have for a counselor to print off. Is most counselors are giving their counselee or someone they're helping or a friend a recommendation of a book or a recommendation of an article, whether it's a blog or something else. And so we created kind of a template here that you can be able to give if you assign them a chapter, and they can talk about what's the focus of the chapter and just list out a couple of different areas where they felt helped by this, some personal application. And then if they have questions of something they didn't understand in the book, to try to write that down. This becomes a really important sheet because in the midst of counseling for us, as we give them a variety of homework, They can hand these things into us, and we, even if we don't get to go over everything, we can see what, how the Lord is using this and how they're processing these, and it becomes another element of the gathering in the life of the counselor and the counselee, so that they can help them effectively. So we have one here that's an article or a book assessment sheet, and then we'll often as well, here's one that is similar to it, is really just an audio assessment worksheet. So as we give somebody a message to listen to, we often use Dropbox in our counseling, where we share a Dropbox folder with our counselees, where we are able to share various messages that will be an encouragement to them through the week. And then we ask them, hey, when we assign one of those messages, fill one of these sheets out so that we can know what you learned about that versus just coming back and trying to conjure up.
Yeah.
What is it after a week or so? What did you learn from this? And we found a lot of times people would say, oh, let me try to think here for a minute.
Yeah.
When they can get this, then they bring back and they have really easy access to say, here's what I learned. Here's what was going on in my heart and my mind at that moment. So that those are a couple of the sheets. We also do some assessments. We have found these, we have found some various assessments that we have. Let me find here this one, where we offer some of these. There's general marriage assessments, anger assessments, worry assessments. These are initial helps to, I believe, a counselor when they're gathering data, gathering information to try to help their counselee effectively. And one of the ways that we use these with our counselees is we'll give them an assessment at the beginning, and we use that to try to help figure out where they're at that time period when they come in. We'll often give them the same exact assessment before they leave. Mm-hmm. And we use it as a point of encouragement in their life to say, man, look at where you've grown in how you would assess the challenge that you face. And that becomes a really helpful tool at the beginning and at the end of counseling to use to give encouragement and hope as they begin, helps you gather the information. And as you end, it helps you see where you've been and the progress that you've made and encourage them. So we've used some of these assessments. We found them highly, really helpful in the midst of our counseling. So we got some of those general things. We also have various homework assignments that we are creating. Here's an example of just a general heart assignment. One of the reasons we did this was as we continued to counsel and rub shoulders with other counselors, a common question would come up. It was my question as I was early in the area of counseling. I would say, where do I get homework? What do I give somebody? And people are still asking that very same question. And there seems to be a gap in the biblical counseling world that we're trying to fill when it comes to this resource center to give some homework assignments that we don't have to duplicate these things from counselor to counselor all over the United States. We can tap into each other's experience and what we're giving as homework assignments. And this is just one of them, just a general homework on the heart, really to just to introduce people to what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about idolatry? And then we can use these as talking points within the counseling session when they come back. So here's one on the general assignment on the heart. Here's one for Ephesians 5 for a marriage homework for husbands. There's also a tandem one of these homework assignments for the wife as well, based on Ephesians 5. So you can kind of, if you're doing marriage counseling, you can give one to the husband, one to the wife, and then you're talking about the same text of scripture. This we find that some of those are very helpful. And information gathering and counseling is critical as we listen to people well. And so one of the ways that we think that we could help that is providing various questionnaires, such as the one that you have here in front of you. And this just kind of walks a person through, give the counselor some questions to ask based upon a person's personal spiritual life, their marriage, their family, So it gives you information about what is going on in their life. You may not touch on every one of those questions, but I found that developing questions to ask a counselee or to somebody I'm helping or a friend is really challenging. And so having somebody help contribute to those questions that we can then use to better and more effectively help that person's situation is very critical. So we have some of those.
And Josh, I'm going to, for the sake of time, there's loads more, and you've pulled up a number of them for us there. And that's just a smattering of the ones that you have online, but you also have some kind of visual ones. And I'd like to, just for the sake of time, skip to one of those. And when we were talking before, you showed me one of these and I thought, man, that's really cool and helpful. And it's, there you go. So why don't you pretend like I'm a counselee and you're going to use this resource or tool. And you said in your counseling scenario, you'll sometimes have a dual screen on your desk so the counselee can see one while you're walking through it, watching it on the other. And then just walk through how you would share this with somebody.
Yeah. One of the things that we found in counseling is as we went to conferences, is people would have various forms of diagrams that were really helpful as a tool illustratively to bring to the counselee to help them identify with various biblical truths. So the one that you have before you is what we describe as the heart geyser. Really just to help a counselee identify with the fact that the behavior of a person's life is really the external side of what is something deeper. And so, we're really trying to illustrate through picture format using technology. We'll have a secondary monitor screen that is facing towards the counselee that they can see this. It helps them we live in a culture that's very visual. They're used to seeing lots of pictures, lots of things like that. And we have found that our counselees have really identified with this kind of pictorial format illustratively. And so we'll walk through various levels of what is the behavior that we tend to see in various presenting problems in people's life: anger, anxiety, depression, fear, pride. And we want to help them to understand that this is just the outward side of what you see when this geyser gets to a point where it explodes, because there's something further underneath this geyser, and it's the unseen heart. And we can walk through Proverbs 4:23 to talk about guarding your heart, because out of that flows all the issues of life. We can talk about a James 4, where it's the desires that are waging war within that person, to help them recognize part of this unseen element that is going on underneath our behavior that's fueling it is what I love and what I worship. It's really what I want and what I desire. So we can walk them through this to help them realize that these triggers or these things that we're seeing in anger and worry, we're really tracing it backwards to what the root cause of these issues and what is causing this geyser to really bubble up enough to where it explodes. And when that happens, it has an impact on people's lives and relationships and everything that goes on in that person's life. So this is one of the ways we try to illustrate some of those things for the counselor and be able to, this isn't just for the sense of a formal counseling session, but we'll use these as we're out in an informal sense where we're meeting with a friend or we're at a coffee shop and we can pull this up on our phone, we can pull it up on a tablet or an iPhone or iPad. And you can begin to talk through some of these things as talking points with people who are struggling formally or informally. So this is one of the ones that we would describe as more of a PowerPoint diagram to try to use the technology that we have in our culture to really help our counselees identify with various illustrative ways to express biblical principles that are really updated within our 21st century culture. And so we have these that are more PowerPoint diagrams, but then we also have some that are kind of teaching diagrams as well for a counselor to be able to walk through and be able to see, they can walk through in their lesson what it looks like at this level to talk about elements of the heart. So here's one that we had that's more kind of a teaching PowerPoint through the lesson as they begin to start understanding. So we're going to give some biblical descriptions. So this slide is assorted pictures of the heart. And we're going to go through some texts of scripture that highlight these and really help them realize there's many pressure points that go on in the heart. Finances, friends, marriage, your wife, your husband, exhaustion, illnesses that really affects these. And then there's also pressure points that reveal what's inside the heart, which is our desire for respect or peace or self-love or honoring God, or do I want control? We're trying to highlight some of these areas in the person's life. And then we'll walk through to say that behavior is often like the check engine light of a car. And this check engine light will come on to say, you know, the point isn't that we need to just get a hammer and hammer out the light in the dashboard to get rid of that check engine light. It's notifying you that there's a problem with the engine. And that's exactly what behavior is for us. It is the understanding that the fruit of what is going on in my life guides me to something that is deeper. And so we'll use some of these pictures, and a lot of times people will identify with some of these elements and illustrations. So we can walk through and talk about the purpose in a man's heart's like deep waters, but a man of understanding is going to draw it out to help them realize how can they do this in their relationships.
Yeah.
People will ask us, can we take these home? Can you copy these for us so we can have them? And so it gives us a very easy way to give those to them as a reminder in their life too.
Yeah. So that's great. And like you said, the visual impact is going to stick with somebody. You know, somebody's wrestling with anger, you walk through that with them. It's helpful for the counselor because the scripture is right there. You'll remember those four verses. But for the counselee to take away that visual impact, if a guy's been struggling with, you know, outbursts of anger, the next time he has an outburst of anger, that image of the geyser is going to pop into his brain. And he's going to be reminded of the truths that you talked about in that counseling situation. That's a really powerful tool. So Josh, tell everybody how we're going a little over time, but I'm fine with that because this is a great resource. So tell people, how can they become a member? What is the cost? And then what benefits? Obviously they have access to this, but can they download it, use it? How can they use them? What does membership look like in the BC Alliance?
So we have different tiers of membership. And so we have individual membership that really is just, it's $25 per year. So it's less than $3 a month. And you have full access to all the online resource centers. That level one membership really just gets you access to everything that you've seen here in the podcast and more. And then you have a level two membership, which will get you access to the online resource center, as well as give you the opportunity to tap into the interactive focus group in the future, especially the one that's going to be going live. And then there's level three and four memberships where it allows a church to join for $500 a year. All of their pastoral staff and their counselors that are counseling in that ministry will then be able to have access with a username and password to download all of those resources and make that accessible to everybody who's there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know somebody's sitting there thinking, oh, well, I could make those or I could do that. But two things. One, are you really going to? And two, how much time would it take you to do that? And I think that's, to me, that's one of the biggest selling points is the time-saving factor. I mean, for less than a cup of coffee a month, you can have access to these amazing tools that have been put together by great people. I looked through some of the other resources. You have lots of tools that are put out by some of the, like you mentioned, some of the bigger names. I hate that idea, but you know, the people who've been helping shape our thinking and instructing us and writing books on these things, you have resources from them there as well. And it's a great tool. And I just know for myself, the time alone that would save is worth the investment. So thanks a lot. We're going to be a little bit over on our time, but I want to take the last 2 minutes and share with you or get to know you a little bit better, Josh, with our 2 minute favorites segment. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Switch over to my timer here and we're going to go. Josh, what's your favorite food?
Oh, definitely my favorite food is pizza.
And what's your favorite word?
My favorite word is interesting.
Least favorite word?
Let me see. Irregardless.
Favorite gift ever received?
I would definitely have to say my wife and kids.
All right. Favorite gift you've ever given?
I think one of the ones, at least, that's close is we gave our daughter a ring for her 15th birthday. It was a purity ring. And just to be able to surprise her with that was really fun.
That's cool. Favorite book of the Bible?
Proverbs.
Favorite non-biblical book?
Definitely, I think the impact Ed Welch is When People Are Big and God Is Small.
Mm. Favorite color?
Red.
Favorite sports team?
Minnesota Wild hockey.
What's your favorite sport?
Definitely hockey.
All right. That's a cultural difference for sure. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, cookies and cream.
And favorite candy?
There's a candy bar called a Nutrageous. Definitely my favorite.
What's your favorite Bible verse?
I'd say 1 John 5:3, which is this in his love, that we keep his commandments, but that his commandments are not a burden on us.
Hmm. If you had to choose one superpower to have, what would it be?
I think sometimes it would be to disappear.
What's your favorite animal?
A monkey.
All right. If your mother were to describe you in one word, what words would she use?
Oh, I would definitely say strong-willed.
All right. Well, that wraps up our time together. Josh, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for the work that you're doing in your church and with the BC Alliance.
Well, thank you so much, Curtis. And we really are excited about what the BCC is doing. So blessings to you as well.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.